Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people's lives are just full of activity, but it seems sometimes that the activity has no real purpose. They might drift from one job to another, working at that job only until a better one comes along. They might drift from one relationship to another, moving on at the first hint of boredom. They drift from one sporting event to another, from one party to another, one civic event to another. They're like the prodigal son in the parable that Jesus told. Besides wanting a good time, the young man had no other real purpose for his life. After cashing in on his inheritance, he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And when the money ran out, and then hard times came, he found himself in the absolute lowest rung of society at that point, especially for a faithful Israelite, feeding hogs in a pigsty. No purpose, no goal, no direction in his life. Maybe you've known people who have never figured out their purpose in life, or perhaps who have taken long years to get to that point. But as we read about the servant of the Lord, the Savior whom Isaiah prophesies in chapter 49, we see that he was not like that. Here again these words from Isaiah 49. "The Lord called me from the womb. When I was inside my mother, he mentioned my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. He hid me in the shadow of his hand. He made me a polished arrow. He concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my glory. I will appoint you to be a light for the nations, so that my salvation will be known to the end of the earth.'" You see that the servant of the Lord knew from the moment of his birth, even before he was born, from the time of his conception, that he had a definite purpose in life. He didn't have to spend years of his life trying to figure out what his purpose in life was. He didn't have to take a career planning course from a major university to learn what he was supposed to do with his life. He didn't have to attend a seminar on how to arrange his personal goals and objectives. Even before he was born, his life's purpose was clearly established. That's why the name that was given to him is more than just a name. It was really his mission statement. "You are to give him the name Jesus," the angel commanded to his adoptive human father, Joseph, saying, "because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus is the true Israel, God's chosen people, the true child of God. He is the servant of God, the servant of the Lord, about whom Isaiah was prophesying in the words of this reading. Jesus, the servant of the Lord, had a clear and unmistakable purpose for his life. He would save his people from their sin. Or in the words of Isaiah here, he would bring salvation to the end of the earth. This was no easy task for the servant son of God, but his heavenly Father prepared him well for this mission. In Isaiah's words, we see that the servant was equipped with the word of God, which we see in the New Testament described as being sharper than any double-edged sword. And until the right moment, as Isaiah also says, we see that God hid him away in the shadow of his hand, which calls to mind what we heard in recent weeks about the early life of Jesus, how God sent an angel to warn Joseph about the wrath of King Herod so that Joseph would take Mary and Jesus to Egypt, and then back to Nazareth. And all those years of Jesus' childhood and adolescence, when God the Father was preserving him, protecting him, strengthening him for his ultimate task, of dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And then finally, as we heard last week in the gospel reading, finally, when the time had fully come, Jesus began his ministry on the public stage with the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. But this was a ministry and a purpose that some people refused to accept. Many people were offended and at the thought that they even needed to be saved from something. And as we reflect on the world around us today, we see that that is still the way of so many in the world today when they hear the message of the Bible. We find it much easier to come up with justifications or rationalizations for our behavior rather than to admit that we are up to our ears in the garbage of sin and that we are in desperate need of a rescue operation by our God. Why don't I get along with my spouse? Well, it's because he or she is so stubborn, so narrow-minded, and so unrealistic. It couldn't be because I am sinful, arrogant, or impatient. Why doesn't a certain family relationship work out? Obviously, it's because the other person is immature and unreasonable, thinking only of themselves. It couldn't be that the fault is partly mine and that I am somehow to blame. Why am I angry with a friend? It must be because my friend let me down and didn't come through for me. It couldn't be because I demanded too much. It couldn't be because I value my friends only at a time when I need them. It's never easy for us to face up to the garbage of sin in our lives. But that's what salvation is all about. Salvation is Jesus, the servant of the Lord, coming to salvage our lives from the trash heap of our sins. That is the purpose that Jesus achieved. Jesus brought about our salvation by immersing himself in the garbage, the trash, and the filth of this sinful world. He wasn't too delicate or too refined to deal with our dirt and filth and sin. When a woman who was publicly known as a great sinner knelt at the feet of Jesus, he didn't turn her away. He wasn't afraid of her tears that fell on his feet. He wasn't embarrassed to have her there sobbing in his presence, in the presence of polite company. Rather, he carried out his mission, his purpose, by declaring to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And that's just what Jesus has done for all of us. He made the trash and the garbage of our sin his own. That's why John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was our sin that Jesus carried to the cross. It is our sin that he forgives. By his death, he has removed the trash of sin from our lives, and he has declared us to be clean, spotless, righteous in God's sight. As Peter proclaimed, after Jesus had risen and ascended into heaven, after he had been arrested and persecuted for preaching salvation in the name of Jesus, he stood up before the ruling council of the Jewish elders and religious leaders and said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." The servant of the Lord, Jesus, accomplished his purpose. What about us? What about you? If we are baptized Christians, then we also are servants of the Lord. If we have been washed clean of our sins in the waters of baptism, not only have we been saved, but we have also been given a definite purpose in our lives, to make God's salvation known to the end of the earth. Is this the purpose that guides your life? Are we committed to the cause of saving souls through the power of the gospel of Jesus? Will we claim our purpose? Will we recognize it? Will we carry it out and make it our own? Bringing salvation to the ends of the earth doesn't mean that we have to stand out on a street corner with a bullhorn, warning people of the impending judgment. It doesn't mean that we have to accost people in the grocery store or at the post office or in a restaurant to preach the gospel to them. It doesn't necessarily mean going to a Christian college or a seminary and becoming a pastor or a teacher or other full-time church worker. Being a servant of God with a purpose means letting other people see how the salvation of God through Jesus affects my life and how it can affect their lives as well. It means that my words and my actions in life will make it clear that God has salvaged me from the garbage and trash and filth of my sins, and that His desire is to do the same for others. Is that what people see when they hear my voice and when they look at my actions? Jesus explains our purpose this way in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Is this our purpose in life? Jesus has salvaged us, rescued us. Are we willing to let Him use us to salvage and rescue others? We've been prepared for this purpose. We have mouths that can speak to others about our Savior's love. The Spirit of God is active in word and sacrament to strengthen our faith, to give us strength to carry out this purpose in our lives. Will we let God use us as His arrows to strike the hearts of others with the good news of His salvation and forgiveness? As Isaiah proclaimed about the ultimate servant of the Lord, that message also applies to us. "He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. He hid me in the shadow of His hand. He made me a polished arrow. He concealed me in His quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant. I will appoint you to be a light for the nations, so that my salvation will be known to the end of the earth.' May God grant it. Amen."